Hello, I'm Clayton Pixon. This is the Should Be Known podcast, and I'll play the rest of this thing. Welcome to the Should Be Known podcast, and this is episode 37, and it is sad how long it's been since the last episode, but sometimes you just gotta pick it up, I guess, and not be too discouraged. I've been working on just music projects and stuff, I guess, in my spare time, and haven't had as much time to do this. It's hard to do both. It's hard to do all the things I want to in my life, of course. A full-time job definitely gets in the way. I don't know if that's a good excuse. I'm just kind of not good at maybe organizing my time and prioritizing and stuff. And something I'm working on and probably will be for a long time. Anyway, it's good to be here. And Should Be Known podcast, we're trying to get at some real psychological principles, not fake ones, not pretend ones, not old, tired, inherited ones that came from some guy's head that aren't, you know, right and not useful and not true. We're trying to get the real psychological principles. We're going to talk about that. By the way, I do have some kind of cold or something today. I apologize for my low gravelly voice. So, psychological principles, I guess we'll jump right in. I do notice that I have notes from back, you know, earlier in like March 2021 that I still haven't recorded in the podcast. There was a bit of a break there also because, I don't know, I've been at a little bit of a loss of where to go from where I am, and I kind of wanted to talk to Terry Warner. I did end up reaching out to him via email through the one address I knew of and reached out to a family member of his that I'd also know. And anyway, I have not heard back. Unfortunately, I don't know whether for sure. I guess he's got that. So yeah, I haven't heard back from Terry Warner. I don't know. I feel like maybe I haven't been the most warm and fuzzy as I could be to anybody, really. I can be a little cold and prickly when it comes to certain things that I feel strongly about and know that I disagree with other people on. I'm not great at kind of defending or my own position in real time. I don't have a lot of guests on the show. That is to say, I have zero guests on the show. Partly because I don't know anybody who talks about this. Terry Warner is kind of the one person who I know that even would kind of remotely, I guess, know what we're talking about here. There may be somebody else, I just don't know of them. Maybe some other professors at BYU who I know have kind of worked on these topics kind of with Terry Warner. I suppose that's an idea. But also, I just kind of need time to think about things. And if somebody says something and it maybe doesn't quite sit right with me, maybe I'll just kind of go along with it and it'll be a while later before I'll think about it and go, huh, no, I don't think that's right because this and that. And also, I don't know, the podcast isn't so much about just getting a bunch of opinions of people in their field of expertise. And we're really focused on accuracy and not so much on a bunch of new ideas and just kind of romping around aimlessly. We're trying to actually get it kind of a solution, some solutions in this specific topic of self-deception and psychology. Hopefully those are good reasons for doing what we're doing. Just partly my personality, partly the field. Hope it's okay. And, you know, I'd love to have somebody on at some point. I just don't quite know who to bring on. And I guess my effort in that one individual I mentioned hasn't brought any fruit. But not opposed to it, not opposed to it. So, okay, psychological principles. So I have my background in philosophy, right? My undergrad's in philosophy. Does that mean I know everything about philosophy? Obviously not. I have a little background in psychology. I have a minor in psychology also from BYU. I'm interested in it. But do I know everything about psychology? No. Would I call myself an expert in, you know, in psychology in general? No. But I've done a lot of thinking and reading about this particular topic. I took all the classes one could take from Terry Warner and more than I probably should have. But why did I go into my background on this? I can't remember. Psychological principles. We're trying to understand psychology. And theoretical psychology is, in my mind, as much philosophy as anything. I don't believe that psychology has a real strong grounding in theory. That's my personal feeling. I haven't been super impressed with the theories of psychology. Are there true principles there? Yes. Are there ones that are not true? I think so. Yes. That are still tossed around and used. Yes. Are in my mind, in the fields of psychology, people are kind of, as far as clinical psychology goes, people trying to help one another for pay, or maybe, I mean, that's the field, right? Are people doing it not for pay? I'm sure that's the case too. People, it's life. But anyway, in the field of psychology, the clinical psychology, I feel like people are doing the best they can to help other people with the principles they've learned and know and think. And many times they're right. Sometimes I'm sure they're not. And are they equipped with a very good tool set? I don't know. Sometimes maybe and sometimes not. I come from a place of feeling that there's a lot of work to be done in theoretical psychology. Can I suffice it to say that? And I hope we'll get there. And I hope this podcast is a small means maybe of finding out some stuff. One thing I think, though, the source of these psychological principles that we're finding, I come from a background of faith, and I have my belief in the scriptures and in principles of the true gospel of Jesus Christ. That's my place where I come from. And I apologize if I'm telling you stuff you already know, but maybe kind of a refresher. But so some of the principles I see as true principles of psychology. We've talked in just about every episode, if not every episode of this podcast, about self-deception. So I believe that is a true principle of psychology. Meaning, to break that down a little, the light of Christ, we all have access to a kind of universal dynamic truth, or you might say the will of God, that we can kind of know at any time deep down inside us. We may not know it from any teaching, may or may not be in a written commandment. We may not know it consciously, but we know right from wrong at any given moment. And we call that our conscience, but I also call it the light of Christ. And that's a scriptural term from the Book of Mormon. A synonymous term is the Spirit of Christ. And anyway, that light of Christ is accessible to us at any time and all times. Can't actually run away from it. And any time we go against that, we basically, of necessity, as this little theory goes, we enter into the state of deception, where we are kind of forced to justify ourselves for violating that truth that we know on some level. When we do that, we kind of push that truth further under, you might say, in our consciousness. And we kind of enter this little world of just being in the wrong about that particular thing. And it kind of goes along with other things. And we can, well, what else do I say about that right now? Well, let's leave it right there. So we'll call self-deception a true principle of psychology. The light of Christ is a true principle of psychology. Truth, an error, that's a separate principle of the gospel. That's truth, and it relates to psychology, obviously. Some would say it's not. Some modern psychologists, you know, they don't know, and they're wrong, but they'd say there is no, you know, right and wrong or whatever, which is just it's just false. Okay, another principle of psychology, faith. Why is faith a principle of psychology? Well, not because, you know, some people believe this and some people believe that. That's not what I mean by faith. That's true that some people believe this and some people believe that, but I'm talking about faith as a principle of action and a basic motivation of all intelligent beings. So this is a principle that comes from what's called the Lectures on Faith. And if you've never read those, look it up. And it very clearly, it's from Joseph Smith's time. And it's a set of, I believe, seven lectures or little, I don't know, written lectures or whatever about, what do you say? I don't know if faith is the main topic or not, but anyway, that's a basic principle in there, that faith is the basic motivator for all intelligent beings. You wouldn't do anything without believing that some result will come about from your action. If that's not a principle of psychology, I don't know what is. What does psychology say is a basic motivator for human action? I don't know. I'm sure they have a bunch, but it's not faith. All my studies of kind of modern psychology, I've never heard anybody mention faith as one. So I think they're missing the mark in a big way on that. Okay, so what else are true principles of psychology? I just jotted down a couple others. Temptation. Temptation comes from a real being from the unseen world. You know who I'm talking about. And all incentive to do right comes from God. So you've got these two opposite, opposing, motivations. There's a word I'm thinking of. Incite. I guess that's an incentive. Whatever incites to do good comes from God. Whatever incites to do evil comes from the devil. This is basic psychology, guys. And since this is completely absent from modern psychology, this is kind of part of the reason I feel like a whole new foundation is needed for psychology. Is it going to be accepted by the vast majority of the world? I highly doubt it, because I don't see people being willing to accept some of these principles. But I do believe there are many in the world who would be willing to accept true principles like this, because there are many people who believe in right and wrong, truth and error, and maybe a smaller subset of those who might be willing to accept the light of Christ and whatever else. But yeah, these are some true principles of psychology as I see them. Spirit, I jotted down spirit. So I think it's good to understand there's physical matter, but there's also spiritual matter. We can't see it in our present state, but it's there just as much as physical matter. And it's as real as physical matter, and it's just as much matter as physical matter. And so we might as well understand it, right? We're trying to understand psychology, and we know we're physical beings, I guess, but we also have a mind. And no matter how much you pick apart the brain and cut it up, you're going to have a hard time finding the mind. very hard time. Nobody's found it yet. Nobody's found it yet by doing that. Interesting, right? Some people think if you cut it up enough or if you understand it, you know, the organization of the brain cells enough, that you'll figure out the mind. And, you know, maybe there's parallels between the organization of the brain and the organization of the human mind, right? Maybe there are parallels. Maybe there's things to learn from the organization of the brain. I wouldn't be surprised. But you're never going to find the actual mind, the germ of intelligence that is in man, by cutting up the brain or prodding it with any kind of electronic radio waves or anything else. So, yeah, there's where I am. I hope I don't sound too defiant, but I feel a little defiant. Is that bad? I feel too alone in the world. I'd like to have somebody to talk about this with, to maybe validate some things. Might make me a little less spiky. All right, well, there we are. What are we at? What's our time? I'm going to change this timeline in my recorder to see how many minutes we've been recording. 21 minutes. Well, I don't like to go a whole lot longer than that, usually, but there's so much to talk about. Okay, what's the source of true psychological principles? I've been thinking about this. Where do we get our modern psychology principles of modern psychology, the truths of modern psychology? Where do those come from? Or whether they're true or not, where do we get them? Are they from different guys over the course of the last century or two? Is that our main source? Freud and Jung and Beck and, you know, some of these great minds, are they who we get them from? Is that as far back as we're looking? Is that our source, main source? Where do we get them? Or do we get them from experiments with, you know, little setups with people reacting to certain questions or electrical shocks or something in a lab somewhere? Is that where we're getting our, or with animals that we kind of treat in inhumane ways in order to get our psychological principles? Are we studying the, you know, dead brains or live brains to figure these out? Where are we getting those principles that we know? I wish I had a list of kind of modern psychology principles. I don't have a ready list right now. I'm sure I could find one on the internet pretty easily, and I'm not sure what I'd think of it, but would there be true ones there? I'm sure, and wrong ones, I'm sure. But where do we get true, really useful principles of psychology? And here's my thought on that. What about the scriptures? What about the Word of God? Do you think the Bible and the Book of Mormon and other actual scriptural bodies of text, if you will, do you think they contain true principles of psychology? I mean, are those just going to tell us about religion, or do you think they'd tell us true principles of psychology? And I'm sure you can guess my answer. Surely, guys, the Book of Mormon and the Bible are rich, and now that whatever other scriptures are rich with principles of psychology. Read the Book of Mormon. Read that like you're reading a treatise on human psychology. See what people do in the most extreme circumstances to each other, and maybe for each other, and for themselves and to themselves. What do? They do, you know, terrible things, and they do, you know, great things. What do the scriptures tell us about, you know, the makeup of the human mind and this world? And read Genesis. What does it tell us about this world and how it was set up? and what the different forces are on the human mind. And if you want to understand self-deception, read the Book of Mormon or any body of scripture, replete with examples. Have I found them all? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. There's way more to study in that way. My point would be, can we start looking at those sources for true principles of psychology as if they contain the actual true principles? Because remember that the principles that we get from Freud or Aaron Beck or Jung, or I don't really know all the names of the famous psychologists, but Jordan Peterson is a modern guy, right? He's a psychologist. The principles we're going to get from them might be true, and they might be really useful. They might be totally right on, and they might be totally mistaken, right? If you listen to any of those guys or read them, you're going to find things that ring true and that are true, and you're going to find things that are just totally off, that they're just guessing. They're poking around in the dark, and they're just writing or saying what they think, and they're right about some things and they're wrong about some things. But if I were looking for a true source for something, who would I turn to? One of these guys? Nothing wrong with them, but they're just men, right? Would I turn to one of them, or would I turn to God and what God has said, and men of God? And there's another thing, because the scriptures aren't the only source of the word of God, of course. They're one source, but the Holy Ghost is very active, and the Lord is very active through the Holy Ghost and other means of revealing the truth to lots of people in the world. Over the ages, of course, but also in modern times. Let me just give you one little example. I'm holding in my hand a book called Discourses of Brigham Young. Brigham Young was the successor to Joseph Smith. So I'm holding this book because he sought to be accurate in his teachings and in his understanding, kind of like I seek to be accurate in my understanding. And how Joseph Smith sought to be accurate and wanted to know the truth, not from some guy, but from God. And I believe he was inspired and correct about so much, many, many more things than I would trust to be correct about a modern philosopher or psychologist or somebody who was not seeking accuracy as hard with God as their guide. Okay, so Brigham Young, here's just something I'm picking out of his book that I came across the other day. It's not his book. Somebody compiled it from his discourses, John A. Widsoe. But one thing he said was about how we know things, okay? It's in philosophy, that's called epistemology, how we know stuff. And what do epistemologists say? Probably different things. I don't really remember how they think we know stuff. But of course, they ask the question, well, how do we know that we know something's true? And that's a great question. I don't think they have the answer that I've ever read from a kind of worldly epistemologist. But from an inspired one, they may know. And here's what Brigham Young said that, to me, answers that question in a measure. He says, I never received one iota of intelligence from the letter A to what I now know. I mean that from the very start of my life to this time, I have never received one particle of intelligence, only by revelation. Okay, what does that mean? What does that mean for epistemology? Would epistemology listen to Brigham Young? Probably not. Because they're not wise. They're not looking to the source. Boy, I hope I'm not getting too riled up and defensive, but this is how I feel, and I think it's right. This is my position, so I'll take responsibility for it. But he says that what we learn from revelation. So what that means to me is that we learn through either the Holy Ghost or the light of Christ, I guess I'd say, everything that we learn. And how would I say that? I mean, otherwise, all the stimuli, that's plural for stimulus, all the stimuli, all the light that's coming into our eyes, all the sound waves that are coming into our ears, all the tactile, you know, sense of touch we have, which is basically electricity, I guess, going up in through our nerves, all the, you know, the taste and smell, which it's all goes through, I guess, electrical pulses or whatever through our nerve cells to our brain. But all of that is just a bunch of, you know, stimuli, all a bunch of sensory, meaningless patterns of what, electrical inputs, if you will, without something to interpret that and make sense of it and have actual knowledge of that. And maybe I'm getting beyond what I need to here, but without knowing, without actual knowledge, without actual intelligence, how can we know anything? And how's anything actual light without it being from God? Well, I don't know if my explanation was the greatest. Now let me read his other quote that's along the same lines. Let's see, I'll just read the whole paragraph. There are men of talent, of thought, of reflection, and knowledge in all cunning mechanism. They are expert in that, though they do not know from whence they receive their intelligence. The Spirit of the Lord has not yet entirely done striving with the people, offering them knowledge and intelligence. Consequently, it reveals unto them, instructs them, teaches them, and guides them, even in the way they like to travel. Men know how to construct railroads and all manner of machinery. They understand cunning workmanship, etc. But that is all revealed to them by the Spirit of the Lord, though they know it not. Okay. Epistemology. What do you make of that? What do you think of that? I mean, if you're looking for how we know stuff, there's a guy right there who said how we know stuff. I hope you'll pay attention to that. All right. Well, it's been 36 minutes. And I've been talking this whole time. And I think we're going to call that good. And I feel like I've let a little off my chest here. Have I completed all my notes? No. But we're trying to understand psychology. And there's some psychology for you. Is it from the sources you're used to? Maybe not, but I hope you'll consider those sources. And when it comes down to it, if you're not sure about those sources, go to the source of all knowledge, who is God. And he may not speak to you directly in his own presence. He could send an angel to you. He could, if he wanted. He could also, though, send you the Holy Ghost, who testifies of him and who is his messenger and who testifies of all truth. You may not be used to receiving knowledge through the Holy Ghost or recognize it very well, but you can learn. The light of Christ is kind of the source of all knowledge, whoever it's from, whether it's from a book or a random dude who's wrong about some things and right about some things. It's all truth. Comes through us through the light of Christ. How does that operate? I'm not sure. What's the precise difference between the Holy Ghost and the light of Christ? I'm also not sure. I'm working on that. And will I ever get there? I don't know. Does somebody understand more than me? I'm sure they do. Would love to hear from somebody who has an insight that would be helpful. But yeah, I would encourage you to go to the source for your truth and your understanding of psychology and all other subjects. Does that mean you can't read books by intelligent men and women? Absolutely not. Or look at YouTube, get information from that. That's not what I'm saying at all. Those places are going to have all kinds of truth. They're also going to have all kinds of mistakes. Some of them innocent and some of them on purpose. But ultimately, remember your source and go to your source and ask and ye shall receive, knock and it shall be opened unto you, seek and ye shall find. I know that to be true. I'm Clayton Pixton. This is the Should Be Known podcast. And have a great day. We'll try to do another podcast before another year passes. And we'll close out with this little piece. I named it, what did I name it? Etude or Etude. I actually don't know how you pronounce that. Etude in 6-4. All right, guys, have a great one. See you later. Bye.